Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
This is continuing coverage in the trial of Alex Murdaugh from True Crime Today.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage. It is our third segment for the day here on the 14th of February and the 15th day of trial testimony. Let's head to the courtroom.
The jury is present.
Thank you. You may call your next witness.
State Ball's Devin Newell.
You can adjust the microphone.
Devin Patrick Newell, N-E-W-E-L-L.
All right. Good afternoon, or excuse me, almost afternoon, Mr. Newell.
Good morning.
All right. Where are you employed, sir?
General Motors.
All right. And what are your duties there at General Motors?
I'm a senior technical expert in advanced driver assist systems.
All right. And can you just give the jury a very short version of what that entails? Very short, please.
I investigate fuel performance issues and concerns with our advanced driver assistance systems.
All right. And as part of that role, do you help maintain certain records that are kept by GM in a normal course of business?
I don't necessarily maintain those records, but I'm aware of records that we keep on servers relative to vehicle data that can be of assistance in our fuel performance investigations.
Okay. And when you say fuel performance investigations, that's something you do, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And that references generally what? What does that mean when you say field performance investigations?
Understanding how our vehicles may perform in the field. Active safety systems include things like forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking. So as we look at how those things perform in the field, vehicle data and other data we collect can be helpful in understanding what is occurring with those events, understanding how our systems are performing.
Okay. And do modern GM vehicles, under certain conditions, upload information to GM servers?
That's correct. We've got telematics units in our vehicles. That's a fancy name for sending information over the air. Those, as part of a normal course of business, those electronic modules in the vehicle collect lots of pieces of data from different sensors and modules in the vehicle. And that information can be sent via cell phone networks and or Wi-Fi back to servers at General Motors.
And General Motors then keeps that information in the course of normal business, correct?
That is correct.
Now, if someone buys a GM vehicle and they're not comfortable with uploading certain types of information, can they opt out of some of the things?
Yeah, certainly privacy, customer privacy is a big concern at General Motors, as you would expect. We've got lots of teams that look at that, investigate, and understand that. And we've got various protocols in place to protect the customer's privacy.
Okay. And just let's speak generally again. What specific sorts of information is routinely uploaded from GM vehicles to GM servers?
It can be a lot of different pieces of information. Diagnostic trouble codes with your engines or brake systems could be information we upload. We monitor the performance of things like your battery to understand if your battery is getting low or needs some charging, and other pieces of information about what the vehicle may be doing. That can and does include, I would say, GPS information, your vehicle location and potentially speed and things like that.
Okay. And that sort of information is kept by GM in the course of normal business, correct?
That's correct, sir.
All right. And I'm going to draw your attention to March of last year. Are you aware, at least as of today, that SLED sent a search warrant to GM?
That's correct. I believe a search warrant was sent to General Motors to generally request information we may have about a particular vehicle.
All right. And I know you don't have the search warrant in front of you, but did you make a note of what vehicle identification number or VIN that search warrant was requesting information for?
I do. I have that number here with me. I can read that.
Can you read that, please?
Yeah, VIN is a vehicle identification number that uniquely identifies the vehicle. It's a 17-character number. 1GNSKFKD0MR210998.
Okay. And let's fast forward to last Friday, which I believe was February 10th, if I looked at my calendar correctly. Did it come to your attention that even though that search warrant had been served back in March of last year, GM, in fact, had some information that was responsive to that original search warrant?
Yeah, that's correct. I wasn't necessarily involved in the search warrant back in March, but I did become aware Friday evening that additional information not previously given before existed.
All right. And so GM did, in fact, have some information on servers for that particular event, correct?
That's correct.
That had not been previously provided to law enforcement prior to last Friday, correct?
That is my understanding, yes.
All right. And, okay. And I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 515.
Thank you.
And I'm going to ask if you recognize that CD, sir.
Yes, that's correct. That's a CD with information on it that I reviewed on a laptop earlier today, and I've signed and dated the CD.
All right. And did you verify that the records contained on that CD is the information GM provided in response to that original March search warrant?
Yes, that's correct. I reviewed the three spreadsheets, Excel files that were on here, and those are, in fact, the same information that was stored in our databases and provide to you. And yes, I can authenticate that.
Okay. And so those records contained on a CD are authentic copies of records maintained by GM in the normal course of business?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And just briefly, what sorts of information is contained? And we're not going to ask you to go line by line or anything, because there's a pretty voluminous amount of data, correct?
Yeah, there's three different Excel sheets, information collected over 3 days. Again, as I kind of talked, I have not reviewed the details of this. I'm not asked to analyze it.
Sure.
The form and content is what we get there. But generally speaking, that information includes, it says vehicle diagnostic information, information on the battery systems, and GPS information.
Okay, GPS information including speed information?
That's correct. Longitude, latitude, speed information are included in there.
At this time, State would move to enter Exhibit 515. No objection. All right. Got further from the State.
By the defense.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning, sir. Good
morning.
I just have maybe 1 minute worth of questions. So you were not part of the, you weren't working on this when the search warrant came in, is that correct?
That's correct.
And you just became aware of this on Friday?
That's correct.
How did you become aware of it?
GM General Motors legal staff reached out to me in response to the subpoena as a person who could come down and authenticate these records.
The legal staff told you that you had information responsive to the search warrant?
That's correct.
Okay.
I'm sorry, the General Motors had information responsive, not me personally.
I apologize for that, of course, General Motors.
Thank you.
Are you aware of the testimony that occurred earlier in this case regarding reverse engineering the electronics in the Chevy Suburban?
I have general knowledge that some FBI folks have looked at some information inside of the infotainment system in the vehicle.
But do you have any knowledge of any reverse engineering efforts the FBI conducted over the course of a full year?
I have not been involved in those or not aware of any details of that, no, sir.
Maybe you can answer one quick technical question. The timestamps in this data, where do they come from?
I have not reviewed this specific data, but the timestamps out of these things here, when GPS information is collected by a GPS receiver, included in that is timestamp information. Okay.
And then finally, this is information that was uploaded to a server at GM.
That's correct.
No further questions.
Anything further? You may step down. Let me call your next witness.
Roger Dale Davis.
Do you swear or affirm that any testimony you give David the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help you God?
Yes.
If you would, please, sir, be seated. State your full name for the record, spell your last name, and adjust the microphone so they can hear you.
Name is Roger Dale Davis, Jr. Last name is D-A-V-I-S.
And Mr. Davis, do you go by Dale?
Dale, Roger, either way.
Okay. Or Mr. Davis.
It don't matter.
If you could do me a favor, because it's a little hard to hear some folks in this courtroom, if you make sure that microphone is pulled close to you and speak into it, we all greatly appreciate it. All right, Dale, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where were you born? Where were you raised?
I was born in Hampton County. I was raised in Hampton. Went to Wade Hampton High School.
Okay. And again, if you would, please try to get a little closer to that microphone. I know it's tight in there. All right, what line of work do you have you done?
Construction work all my life.
Did you ever have an opportunity to work at the farm in Moselle?
Yes.
Okay. Is that close to where you actually live?
A mile and a half.
How did you become familiar with the Murdaugh family and the Moselle property? How did you start working there?
I was walking, and Alex would stop and talk with me, and he asked me one day about cleaning the kennels for him, and probably a couple months, 6 months later, then he asked me to come do it on the weekends.
And that started about 4 years ago?
About 4 years ago.
And walk us through the process. What did you do? How many times a day did you do it?
Twice a day, once in the morning, once in the evening.
All right, what time in the morning, generally?
Average around 7.
You wake up early?
Oh, yeah.
So 7 a.m., and then what time in the evenings, generally?
Usually I try to get around 3:30, 4 o'clock.
How long does the process typically take you?
About 45 minutes.
And walk us through what that process is. What do you do out there?
In the morning times, I would take, go feed all the dogs, give them time to eat. I'd feed the chickens. That way the dogs would have time to eat. Then I'd wash the pens out. Then I would usually roll the hose up and then go to the house. And then come back in the afternoon and repeat the process.
Now, you mentioned washing the pens out. Now, the dogs, did they have dog beds
yes.
in their kennels?
Yeah, Buster, Grady and Bubba had two dog beds.
And if you're washing it out, meaning are you spraying it with water?
Sprayed it with water.
What did you do with the dog beds?
I would stick them up on top of the dog boxes.
And then did you leave them up there or did you put them back?
Normally, typically, once I wash the pens out, I would lay them back down, especially if it was cold in the wintertime, I would lay them back down on the ground. But during the summertime, you would wait that afternoon to lay them back down on the ground.
In the 4 years you worked there, did you get to know the property fairly well?
Yes.
Did you get to know the folks that lived there pretty well?
Yes.
Did you get to know Maggie Murdaugh at all?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, tell us what your experiences with her were.
Normally, she was just so laid back. She would talk to you like a normal person. We'd sit there and talk about the dogs. She'd talk about sometimes where she would be at the beach. But she normally would tell me, you know, I'm going to the beach. I'm taking Bubba and Grady with me or whatnot, or I'm going to leave them. Or if it was real hot, she would want me to put them over there in the ice house, turn the air conditioning on where they have the ice. The cooler's at.
Did Maggie like to spend time with the dogs?
All the time.
And you mentioned the ice house. Was that the processing house kind of on the back of the hangar?
Property. That was the...
And why, was it air conditioned? Is that why you said she put them in there?
Yeah, during the summertime, it got real hot.
And that house, does it have air conditioning, that shed?
Yes, sir.
All right, did you get to know Paul at all?
Yes.
All right, what was your experiences with him?
He was a little wild and crazy, but he would work. That boy would work.
He liked being at the farm?
He liked getting out and doing things, hunting, but he would work on the tractor or whatever and daddy needed him to do.
And did you get to know Alex?
I did.
Is he here today?
Yes, sir.
Where is he?
He's sitting right over there.
Do you explain what he's wearing?
Wearing a suit, a pair of glasses, blue-looking shirt.
And what were your experiences with Alex?
He was always very particular. He would want the dog buckets washed out. If they looked like they started getting any kind of green or brown-looking stuff in the water, he wanted to make sure, which I usually wash them out every 2 weeks anyway. With bleach, but I always dump them every day.
Was Alex easy to get a hold of?
No.
All right, explain that. What do you mean by that?
He would either be in court or doing something with business. It would sometimes be a little bit difficult to get a hold of him.
Who did you see most often when you were out there?
Miss Maggie or either Paul.
And how did Maggie and Paul typically come to and from the big house to the kennel area?
Paul would usually be in his truck.
We've heard a lot about trucks. Which truck was that?
His white F-150. And unless his daddy had him doing something, then he would have to drive the F-250. But most of the time he'd be in his white F-150.
And what color was the F-250?
It was also white.
So two white trucks were what he typically used?
Yes, sir.
And how about Maggie?
See, Norman drove her Range Rover until she got the black Mercedes.
And then what would she drive after that?
Most of the time she would drive the black Mercedes.
And would she load her dogs, the house? First of all, let's go back. Which dogs were down there? Do you remember all the dogs?
Bubba, Grady, Maggie. Then they started letting, can't remember his name right off. Dahlia was there, Armadillo, and I call her Taffy Toes. I don't know what they called her, but that's what I always called her.
And I think the other dog, was that a dog owned by one of Paul's friends, Rogan? Is that the one you're referring to?
Yes.
What type of dog was it?
A lab, chocolate lab.
And which dogs were the family dogs, the family pets?
Grady, Bubba, and Maggie.
And what kind of dogs were that?
Labs.
And colors?
Bubba was yellow, Grady was black, and Maggie was yellow.
And would they where would they typically stay, those dogs, those animals?
It all depended on, most of the time, because Bubba was very rambunctious, so they would got where they would lock him up in the kennels at night, and most of the time they would lock all the labs up in the kennels to keep them from roaming off. But Miss Maggie would take them out during, when she was home, usually a lot of times after I done left, she would take them up to the house, let them roam around the yard for a couple hours, and then she would bring them back down to the pens.
And would Maggie load them into her car if she was taking them elsewhere to the beach or wherever else she was staying?
Wherever she was staying at, she would load them in the vehicle. Most times she would load them right in her vehicle.
Dale, I'm going to hand you what's been marked State's Exhibits. Jim, any objections to these? I'm going to hand you what's been marked as State's Exhibits 505, 506, 502, 503, 504, and 516. Dale, if you wouldn't mind, please take a moment to review all these and let me know if you recognize what they show.
They showed a kennel.
Okay, and then I believe there's one diagram there, if you recognize what that shows.
It shows diagram drawing of the kennel.
Very good. Your Honor, we'd move to place all those exhibits into evidence, I believe, without objection.
No objection, Your Honor.
They're admitted without objection.
What's been marked as State's Exhibit 505. Do we have the helmet, please? Okay. Dale, while we get this loaded up, tell me a little bit. I know, did you have a particular way of hosing down and, you know, with the dealing with the hose? Tell us a little bit about what that was about.
The particular way of me putting the hose away, or
right?
Normally after I got through washing, I would stretch the hose straight out.
Into which direction?
Back towards the shed room right there, the dog feed room.
All right, and we now have the Elmo up. We're looking at Exhibit 505, and the feed room, I believe, is what you're referring to. Is that the structure on the far right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, and then where is in this picture, where is the hose you're talking about located?
It's back towards the left-hand side, back towards the forest end.
Is that yellow?
That's that yellow green looking hose.
All right, go ahead and explain to us what you would typically do after after rinsing off and putting the hose away.
I would stretch the hose out back towards the feed room. I would cut the valve off at the top, which is right up above as the hose come in. Then I would walk back down and cut the valve on at the end of the hose. That way it would release the pressure. And then I would roll it up slowly until I had it uniform.
Were you pretty particular about how you wound that hose?
Yes.
And why would you do it that way? And did you do it that way every time?
Every time.
And why would you do it so particularly?
Because if you notice how the hose right now is kinked up, it would start making the hose, where if you didn't do it right, eventually would it keep kinking? It would start making it where it didn't want to, and it would cause the hose to start having little splits in it.
The picture that you're seeing there, that hose, is that the way you would rewind it up?
No.
How do you know?
My very particular how I roll that hose up. And it's kinked up. If you notice, there's pressure on that hose. Somebody used that hose after I did because it is twisted. And the nozzle is too far up. The nozzle, I would always have it made sure it was laid down flat. That nozzle is too far up.
Dale, I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 516. And again, please briefly explain what it is we're looking at there.
The drawing of the kennel.
Okay. I'm going to hand you a pen, and with the court's permission, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and fill in the... Well, first of all, let's back up. Did you work the... were you aware of the events surrounding June 7th, 2021, where Maggie and Paul were murdered?
I received a phone call from CD that the slave wanted to see me because Ms. Maggie and Paul had been murdered, and I thought he was joking, but he told me no. I told him, give me 5 minutes, I'll be up there, because I was going to carry my trash off at the time. And I got up there, and the dogs was raising Cain, and I asked him, could I go ahead and feed the dogs so they would quiet down? And they told me to give them a few minutes, and then they gave me permission to feed them. As soon as I fed them, they just quiet down. They bark no more.
So you were familiar about that incident?
Event? Yes, sir.
And you went out there what day?
That morning.
Was that the 8th of the morning of Tuesday?
When the murders happened, yes.
Did you work every day leading up to that day?
Yes.
And did you do that normal routine which you already described?
Yes.
All right. And did you in fact do that normal routine on the Monday of the before the murders?
Or yes.
Okay. Walk us through that day. What did you do in the morning?
I got there probably around 8 o'clock. It all depends on when I got up. But most of the time I got up early, I would be there before 6:30, 7 o'clock. I would go through there, feed the dogs, feed the chicken. That'd give the dog time to eat their food. And then I'd wash the pens out.
And was anything unusual or out of place when you were down there in the morning?
No.
And did you repeat the process again in the afternoon, in the evening time?
I did.
What time did you, on Monday, June 7th, what time did you go back to the pens?
I got there before 4 o'clock. I remember leaving at 4:30.
All right. And was... was anyone there at the time you went to the dog kennels that day?
No.
Did you notice anything out of place when you went there at the dog kennels in the evening time?
No.
And what did you do after arriving?
Well, once I arrived that afternoon, I got out. I fed Grady, Bubba, and Maggie. Cause we fed them twice a day. The hunting dogs only got once a day. Took and fed them. I picked the dog beds up. I dumped all the water out because I washed all their buckets, gave them fresh water, washed the pins out, stretched the hose out, cut the water at the valve off at the top, went down there, cut the water on, the valve on down at the end of the hose so the water would come out, rolled the hose up, and full 30 outlet.
And you rolled it. Did you roll the hose up the way you've always done it that day?
Every time.
Do you remember how the dogs were laid out in the kennels that day when you left?
When I left, yes, sir.
And with the court's permission, I'm going to ask the witness to please, if you would, write on that piece of paper, the exhibit, State's Exhibit 516, beginning with, first of all, on the far right, what's that door signify in the
storage room. Storage room, feed room. Okay.
Beginning with kennel one, next to the feed room, what dog was in there when you left that day at 4 o'clock or before 5 o'clock?
Grady.
All right. If you would, please write Grady in there. Okay. And then moving on to kennel two. What dog was in kennel two?
Bubba.
And for our reference, Grady was the black lab?
Grady is the black lab.
Okay. And Bubba is a what?
Yellow lab.
Okay. And who was next to Bubba in pen three?
Maggie, because he was getting bigger than Bubba.
And Maggie is a what color?
Yellow, a yellow lab.
All right, were there any dogs next to Maggie?
No.
Okay. And that would be kennel four was open?
That one should be an open. The next one down should have been Roden's dog.
Okay, can you write that in there? Just write chocolate lab. Or Rogan's dog, whatever you want to write. That would be kennel five.
Trying to remember Rogan's dog's name. That one should have been there. I don't remember what LaRuga's dog's name was at the time.
Was there any dog located in kennel six? And if you want to work, however you want to do it, sir, it's if you want to just fill out the rest of the dog, the working dogs, that's fine.
Well, Dahlia was at the very end, kennel 10. I know that. Then let's see. Armadillo should have been the next one coming back from Ken. Let's see, empty on nine. Alright, it should have been one. Yep. Armadillo should have been right past the hose right there. And then it would be Tappy Toes. That would have to be Tappy Toes right there because they always kept Roden's dog and Maggie. There was a kennel in between them. So that should have been Tappy Toes right there.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to put this on the screen. Just verify that that was what you filled out. All right, Mr. Dale, I see starting with number one, Grady, then Bubba, Maggie, then five is Rogan, six is Tappy Toes, seven is Armadillo, and 10 is Dahlia. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And that's the way it was when you left the property at around 5 o'clock that Monday, June 7th?
Yes.
And for our reference, on this diagram, that green circle, that represents what?
The hose. Garden hose.
right, I'm going to show you a few more pictures. If you would just describe what we're seeing. Are you familiar with that angle?
Yes.
All right, where are we looking at from at this angle? Where are we looking at things?
You're looking straight down the kennel where you got the hose and the walkway going down in front of the kennels.
And on this picture, where would the feed room be located?
At the very end on the right hand of this picture.
Okay. When you, in the 4 years you were washing out the kennels, did water collect or pool in certain areas?
It did.
All right. Can you identify in this picture those areas?
Right under the hose, and right there, which was, should have been Armadillo's pen, that should have been right there, and then right below it should have been collected. And maybe one more little spot right down there towards the end of the post right there, but that'd be about it.
For the record, this is stage 504. Moving on to stage 502, a very similar angle. Dale, do you see those pools of collected water that you mentioned just on the last exhibit?
Yes.
Okay. And also states 506. And again, do you see the same angle, just pulled a little farther back?
Yes.
Who's the dog there on the last pen that we can see in the dog shed, in the dog house?
Dahlia.
All right, did water ever pool over by the feed room?
No, because usually when that's the reason I would go in the afternoons, the sun would come down and beat. It would dry it up a lot quick. Especially in the summertime, it would really dry it real quick. In the wintertime, the sun would actually still hit the concrete around 3 to 4 o'clock. It would be usually around 6 or so before the sun wouldn't be hitting on the concrete.
Did water pool in the front of where Bubba would have been located or Grady?
No.
Showing you States Exhibit 503. Dale, are you able to see the water located near the feed room in front of the two kennels, 1 and 2?
Yes.
Is that how water would normally pool when you washed the kennels for 4 years?
Normally, no. There's too much water right there. You can tell when the concrete's already done started drying, but there's too much water right there around the second and third pen.
Looking at this picture, what dog do we see in kennel one, and what dog do we see there in kennel two?
You see Bubba in kennel one and Maggie in kennel two.
And again, Grady is what kind of dog?
Grady is a lab.
What color is he?
Black.
Black. Is that the? And when we say the spots where you would put them, or they were located, were there assigned kennels necessarily to the dogs?
Not really, but most of the time, Miss Maggie wanted Grady to be in that kennel right next to the feed room, and then we'd use it for Bubba or Maggie in the parlor.
So that was just out of habit, mostly Maggie's habit?
Yes, sir.
All right. Did anyone else in the family put the dogs in a specific location, or did they put it wherever they could find a spot?
They would put it wherever they could find a spot.
But Maggie was particular about where she put them up?
Most of the time, yes.
Dale, I'm going to ask you about firearms in general. Are you familiar generally with firearms?
Yes.
Did Paul have any firearms that he favored over more often than others, just in your experience with him?
Yes.
All right. Are you familiar with an assault rifle-style rifle?
Yes.
All right. Tell us about the one that you observed Paul having with him most often.
When he went hog hunting, he would have a AR-style 300 blackout.
And what color was it?
Black.
Did it have a scope on it?
Yes.
All right. Did Paul also favor a camo shotgun?
Yes. During turkey season.
The family owned, as far as you knew, the family owned a lot of firearms. Is that correct?
Yes.
Did you, in your experience, and did you spend a lot of time primarily down here at this dog pen area?
Yes.
Twice a day, every day?
Yes.
Did you have occasion, did they occasionally leave guns at this area?
Yes.
All right, where would you have found them? And when I say occasionally, what does that mean to you?
That would be, especially when it was during hunting season, they would leave either on the golf cart or side by side. Sometimes they would leave them in the truck, but most of the time it would be on the golf cart or side by side.
And how often was that, if you're there every day?
Sometimes it could be once, sometimes it could be three or four times.
In a month?
In a month. It just all depends on how hurt he got.
But that's during hunting season, right?
That's during the hunting season.
And did Alex carry a firearm?
I never seen him carry a firearm, but I know he carried a pistol in his vehicle.
Did you have a chance to listen to a kennel video in meeting with law enforcement?
I did.
And did you identify the voices on that kennel video?
I did.
Whose voices did you hear?
Paul, Maggie's, and Alex.
In all the time that you spent out there in the 4 years, every day, twice a day, did you ever see a gun left in the feed room?
No.
And you went in the feed room every day, twice a day for 4 years?
Yes.
Thank the court's indulgence. Refer to Alex carrying a pistol in his car. Is that because you? How'd you know that?
One time I had to drive his vehicle over to the law firm, and then every once in a while he would happen to roll up the window or something up. It go to rain or something up. They happen to not be home.
You mentioned the vehicles. Were the vehicles unlocked? All the vehicles on the farm.
All the vehicles on the farm. Keys in them.
Keys in them, so someone could just open the door and drive them?
Oh, yeah. If they weren't in the switch, they would be in the center console.
And in this picture here that's still on, do you see the dog beds located in those pictures?
Yes, they're on top of the dog kennel.
They haven't been put down?
Haven't been put down.
Dr. Curry, thank you.
By the defense.
Board.
Good afternoon, Dale.
Good afternoon.
I'm Jim Griffin. We've met a few times, haven't we?
Yes, sir.
I want to start by asking you just how long did you work at Moselle for Alec Murdoch?
About 4 years.
And twice a day, every day?
No, it started off on just the weekends, and then I went full time with him right before Ronnie quit.
Okay, and that's Ronnie Freeman?
Whatever his last name is, I know Ronnie. That's all I can tell you.
Yes, sir. And a couple of things. You've said you've never seen guns left in the feed room, but you certainly seen guns left down in the work shed and.
Yes.
And then the, what you call side-by-side, and that's a off-road vehicle that two people can sit beside each other?
Yes.
And then I guess they had golf cart
yes.
down there, and you seen left guns there?
Yes.
And you have seen guns left in their vehicles?
Yes.
And unlocked, right?
Unlocked.
And hog hunting, there's really no season for hog hunting, is there?
No.
And a couple of those dogs in that kennel were used for hog hunting.
Paul had got rid of the blue tick, but he kept Armadillo. But he never really hunted him anymore after that last time he got hurt.
Right. Now, let's just be clear. When you're hog hunting with dogs, I don't think you can use a gun, can you?
Oh, yeah, you can use a gun.
Oh, you think? Okay. The
unless you're man enough to go in there and catch him by the foot and bring him out.
Well, somewhere along the way, I heard you had to use a knife as opposed to a gun, but I don't. Let me ask you the. I'm going to pull up this video, Exhibit 297. It's the kennel video. And hang on, let me get around here. Dale, it should be on the screen there. And if I'm going to tell you when to stop, Doug, but if you go ahead and play it. Now, stop right there. Is that Rogan's dog?
Yes.
Dog named Cash, you think?
Yep, that was it.
Cash. And Cash was... I'm saying, but what you've got labeled on Exhibit 516, Cash would be in kennel number 5. Is that right?
Should have been. Around.
That's a few kennels up from the hose. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're going to run this, continue, and I get ready to stop when I tell you, Doug. All right, stop her. Oh, go back. A few seconds. Well, right there. What do you see up there in the top left on that picture, Dale?
Hose.
That's the hose?
Yep.
Now that hose is on the ground, isn't it?
Yes.
Not rolled up, is it?
Nope.
Okay. And there's water around there, isn't there?
Yes.
Okay. So someone, before this video was taken, had taken the hose down that you meticulously wrapped it up. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. You can take that down. Now, you said Mr. Alec was particular about how the hose should be wrapped. Is that right?
Well, not particularly him. He liked it to be wrapped up, but he wasn't very particular how, as long as it was wrapped up out of his way.
Okay.
But I was very particular how I wrapped it.
You were very particular.
Yes.
Okay. How about Paul? Was he meticulous how he wrapped it?
No.
Okay. All right. The now you mentioned that water would not normally accumulate up by Grady and Bubba's, because that's where the sun would come in the evening.
Right? You washed it because if you didn't be very particular,
right?
They didn't seal up underneath that door, so the inside the jams started to rot. So I tried to make sure. Because if it was any kind of puddling or whatever, you'd have to make sure it was gone.
Right.
So you would try not to make sure there was no puddling there. So puddling didn't usually happen around the dog bean room. It would usually a couple posts back. You would have under the hose, usually around about where Armadillo's pen was, and there was a few other little spots around the post that normally would puddle.
And you were meticulous about not letting water build up around the feed room door because of the rot.
Yep.
And in fact, there was sealant in the feed room where you would have to routinely put by the door to keep it from rotting.
Alex done it the last time.
But you had to periodically do that, right?
Yes.
And you do that because water builds up, right?
Well, because the water was splashed. They didn't seal up underneath the door jam right now. And it would just run up underneath the plate right there. for the cement, it would run and drain off.
Now, we would have, can we agree that Paul was not as meticulous as you were about spraying around the kennels?
Nope.
We can or cannot agree?
We can agree to that.
All right. And so, and we saw the hose out, and you don't know what time that was, but I think the record reflects it's sometime 8:44 in the evening. I mean, that's about sundown, right, in June?
Oh, yeah.
And so there wouldn't be a hot sun burning the water off if the hose had been used, you know, right around that period of time, would there?
No.
And if Paul had not been meticulous like you, it wouldn't be unusual to see water build up where you see it in the photo, right? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And sometimes the dogs would knock over the water bowl.
They would.
And that would, and I think maybe we can see in the photos, that would cause water to run off too as well, right?
Oh, yeah, it would run off.
Okay. Now, Dale, what's lovey-dovey mean to you?
What does it mean to me?
When you use the phrase lovey-dovey about Alec and Maggie, what does that mean?
It means they love each other.
What in your presence, you described that them as being lovey-dovey, didn't you?
Yes.
And tell Jerry what you meant by that.
Oh, every time I always see him, I've never seen that man even raise his voice at his wife or kids, or his wife. I've never seen him even, none of them argue. But he always, anything she wanted or the boys wanted, he would try to get it.
And how would you, what was your observation about the relationship with Paul?
They like to hunt and fish together. I mean, they drink beer together.
Okay. And his relationship with Buster?
I didn't see Buster as much, but it was always friendly. I mean, just never seen any harmful way or anything with them.
You remember, Dale, one time one of the hunting dogs got hung up in one of the kennels.
Yes.
Choking to death.
Yes.
And that dog was badly injured, wasn't he?
It was. It didn't survive.
And the decision was made to mercy to put the dog down, wasn't it?
Yes.
And Mr. Allen couldn't shoot that dog, and he asked you to do it, didn't he?
Yes.
And did you do that?
Yes.
Now, on June 7th, the night of June the 7th, you got off work, I think you said 4:30?
4:30.
And you remember what you did? Did you go home?
I went straight to the house.
And did you stay at the house all night?
I sure did.
You stay inside?
I did.
And you live?
A mile and a half.
I've driven a lawnmower down that road, I believe, when I was last time saw you.
I did.
Did you hear any gunshots that night while you were in your house?
No, I did not.
Now, you mentioned Paul liked to hunt with a blackout, 300 blackout, I guess.
He did, whole hunt.
Yeah, before the murders, when was the last time you saw that gun? Do you remember?
I cannot remember exact, but it was quite a few months that he had said something about going hog hunting. He had it in his truck.
Right. Okay.
But it was a couple months. I know at least 5 or 6 months.
All right. Two last points. Bubba's been getting a bad name, but Bubba's a little stubborn dog.
Stubborn? No, he just rambunctious.
But if you would he listen to you?
Somewhat.
He listen to Alec?
He would.
And in that feed room, did you keep shock collars back there for the hunting dogs and stuff?
We did.
What else was kept in that feed room besides feed?
Shock collars, feed, chicken feed, the GPS tracking collars.
Was there some medicine?
There was medicine. There was all kinds of stuff in there.
So if you need to put something on a dog's skin for rash or something, that had that in the feed room?
Had that.
And now Ms. Maggie would go down there. I mean, you said she'd take a Mercedes sometime, but she'd ride a bike down there too, wouldn't she?
Bicycle, golf cart. And then sometimes she would walk.
She'd walk. And she liked to get the dogs out. Grady and Bubba and Maggie, I think, was Mr. Randolph's dog, wasn't
it? Yes, sir.
And she liked to run the dogs in the golf cart sometimes, let them run behind.
She would. Sometimes she just get out there and walk. But
now those were pet dogs, but they stayed at the kennel, right?
Most of the time they did.
And they didn't let those dogs in the house because Buster had eczema. Were you aware of that?
I didn't wear that. I knew they would take them up to the house. Now whether they went in, I didn't know.
You didn't know whether they went in or out or did not?
I know they stayed outside around the house.
And you know they had an electric fence?
They did.
And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't?
Yes.
Okay. But it wasn't unusual for Bubba Grady and Maggie to be down at the kennels at night, right?
It wouldn't.
Okay. And they like to chase chickens, Bubba the one?
They never would chase chickens until Alex had got a rooster that would roost right over there. After he let that rooster out, that joker got there would taunt them jokers. And they got where they would chase the chickens.
Because the rooster would be taunting the dogs.
Yeah, I could beat the dogs to death.
All right. All the questions I have, Dale. Thank you so much.
Redirect.
Curious, Dale, what happened to that rooster?
I can't remember if Grady got him or Bubba got him.
The rooster got his, apparently.
One of the dogs ended up getting the rooster.
All right. We heard a little bit about, first of all, did Alex do a lot of hunting?
I don't know how much hunting he done, but I know he done hunting.
And hunting involves killing animals?
It did.
So as far as you knew, he was a hunter?
Yes.
The slope of the concrete, the concrete out there on the dog kennel, did it have a slope to it?
Yes.
And that would be for what reason?
To run the water off.
So water would naturally drain out there even if it wasn't sunny?
It would.
And I think you mentioned and talked at length about the feed room and how there was issues there, but were the issues caused, the wadding root, was that caused because it was actually draining?
When they done that room, they didn't, like I told that gentleman over there, they didn't seal that bottom plate like it should have been, and it would allow water when you sprayed the concrete off it. Water kept just slowly getting underneath the concrete until it started rotting out around the door jams and stuff.
If Maggie was down there at the kennels, would she have put the dog beds down for the dogs?
She would have.
If the kennel lights and the hanger lights and the underneath lights are on, is it fairly well lit out there?
It is.
You mentioned bed. What's your bedtime? You said you rise early. What's your bedtime?
My bedtime, it all depends.
Okay. What time are you in bed?
That is a good question. Now, I can tell you my routine.
All right, tell me your routine.
Usually around 4 or 5 o'clock, I go get a shower, and I'm in my recliner to use it the rest of the day.
Okay, so if you're not in bed, you're in that recliner. After you shower, you're in that recliner.
Is he?
And the day is done.
Done.
Okay. And in June 7th, that was that Monday, were you done that night at whatever time you took your shower, 4 or 5 o'clock?
I was done at 4:30, 5 o'clock. I had done had my shower. I was in my recline.
And you were with your wife?
Yes.
Last question. When you were out there at 5 o'clock at the kennels in Moselle, were there any firearms anywhere on that property?
That night, that particular day?
That particular day.
I did not see none.
Thank you.
Anything further?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you, sir. I'll call your next witness.
State Police, Carson Burney.
Yeah, you're good. Thank you.
You swear or affirm any testimony you give today will be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
If you would, please, sir, be seated, take your full name, spell your last name, and then leave the microphone right here.
Carson Burney, B-U-R-N-E-Y.
Now it's the afternoon. Good afternoon, Mr. Burney.
Afternoon.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Mr. Burney.
My name is Carson Burney. As I mentioned, I've lived in South Carolina a little over 20 years. I graduated from University of South Carolina 2013 with a degree in finance. In 2015, I went back to USC, completed a six-month paralegal certificate program there. 2019, I joined the Department of Revenue as a sales tax auditor. And in 2021, I was hired on as the forensic accountant in the state grand jury division at the South Carolina Attorney General's office.
So we work together?
We do. We used to have offices right next to each other.
About how long have you been with the Attorney General's office again?
Approximately a year and a half.
And about how long were you with the Department of Revenue before you came over to us?
A little over 2 years.
And say again for me, what is your job title with the AG's office?
I'm the forensic accountant in the state grand jury division.
All right. Forensic accountant. What is a forensic accountant?
So a forensic accountant, it's a broad term, but essentially what I do is compile records, primarily financial records that include loans, credit card statements, bank account information, compile that information, and then pass it on typically to law enforcement or the prosecutors in my section.
And when you talk about you look at these records, what sort of volume of records are we talking about? Hundreds of pages, thousands of pages, ten thousands of pages?
In this case, thousands of pages of records, yes, sir.
Thousands of pages?
Yes.
Would it be fair to say tens of thousands of pages?
Probably, yes.
Okay. Do you like your job, Mr. Burney?
I do like it. It can be tedious, but I do like it. I find a sense of fulfillment.
Do you have any certifications in connection with your work?
I do. I am a certified fraud examiner, which is a test, essentially. You learn and you are tested on different fraud schemes, how to investigate those fraud schemes, the law surrounding that, and then different fraud prevention and deterrence methods.
As a forensic accountant, are you familiar with the concept called tracing?
I am.
What is tracing?
Tracing, in the context we're going to talk about, it's looking at the source of funds and tracing it out through to see where the final disposition of those funds ultimately end up.
And in your appointment as a forensic accountant, have you had opportunity to conduct any tracing analysis on records provided as part of this case?
I have pretty much all the alleged stolen money I have traced.
All right. Your Honor, the state would at this time move to qualify Mr. Burney as an expert in forensic accounting, particularly as to the tracing of funds.
Your Honor, we don't have any objections to his qualifications. We would renew our previous objections on this whole line of testimony under 404 and 403.
He's qualified as an expert.
Are there different ways of tracing funds, Mr. Burney?
There are. There's several different methods.
What method did you apply in this particular matter?
I used what's called a first-in, first-out method. Simply put, the first money into an account that I'm looking at is the first money out. And in context of the tracing, it'd be the money from the source of the checks and then the money, first money out.
Now, and I kind of jumped ahead of myself a little bit. When money is moving around between different bank accounts, the banks aren't transmitting, the serial numbers on particular dollar bills, are they?
They are not.
All right, so you can't necessarily tell that a dollar with the serial number is the same dollar as that serial number and going across multiple accounts, can you?
No, you cannot.
And so are these methodologies how you go about deciding that a dollar in one account is the same as the dollar from another account?
That's correct. When you have a bank account, obviously it's a pool of money, so we have to apply some rules to say this money comes from the source.
Now, you indicated you use the first-in, first-out method. Is there any sort of lay explanation or description you can provide to us?
Yes. I like to use the example of, say, you have $10 in your bank account, and for this example, we'll say it's legitimate money in that bank account. You go over to Grandma's house, you get sticky fingers, you take $10 out of Grandma's purse, you put that money in the same bank account, so now you have commingled funds, and we'll call the $10 from Grandma's purse illegitimate funds. And then you have a transaction, let's say it's $15. So you're pulling partially from the $10 you previously had, the legitimate funds, and then $5 out of the $10 from Grandma's account. So that's how the first-in, first-out method would work.
And so under that first-in, first-out method, what portion of that $15 would come from those legitimate funds, and what portion of that would come from the sticky fingers money?
The $10 would be legitimate funds, and then the $5 from Grandma's $10 you took and put into your bank account without her permission.
What other methodologies are there for the tracing of funds?
There's a lowest intermediate balance rule. Typically, you see it in trust fund accounting. It's with commingled funds. And typically, the principle behind that is any withdrawals out of those commingled funds are deemed to be personal funds, and the funds remaining in that account would be trust funds. You see it sometimes in bankruptcy proceedings. Another one is the one I mentioned, the first-in, first-out method. Then you have the reverse, which would be the last in, first out method. And then one I call essentially a proximity rule. If you see a large transaction, a large deposit come in and then almost immediately come out with a similar amount, you can draw a conclusion that those funds were to fund that other transaction.
So to go over that last one a little bit, if you're looking at a bank account and you see $1,000 come in and then right away $1,000 come out, would that be the proximity rule that you just described?
That's exactly correct.
And in that circumstance, you wouldn't even necessarily need to apply that first in, first out, or last in, first out, or any of the particularized math. You just say 1,000, it's all the same.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. In this particular case, were you asked to look into the deposit of $792,000 into accounts under the control of Alec Murdoch?
I was.
All right. When was that money deposited into which accounts?
Can I review my notes?
Please do.
Okay, the $792,000 you are referring to has been called the Ferris fees in previous testimony. It was three different checks, all from the Wilson Law Group. The dates deposited were March 10th, 2021, March 23rd, 2021, and April 20th, 2021. The first check was $192,000. The second, $375,000. And the third was $225,000, and all had a check date of March 10th, 2021.
And I'm sorry, what was that last date again?
The last date, the $225,000 was deposited on April 20th, 2021.
And did you apply any tracing analysis to the disbursement of those funds?
I did.
And which form of analysis did you apply to it?
I did the first in, first out method.
And without getting into any granular detail of the expenses from the account from that money, what generally was that money expended on?
So a large portion of the money was checks to associates, known people to Alex Murdaugh, and then the remaining of the funds, primarily we see credit card payments.
When was that $792,000 exhausted under that first in, first out analysis?
So it was completely exhausted out of the account by May 25th, 2021.
There's been a lot of attempts at math from the stand over the course of this trial. Am I correct in judging that to be roughly a month apart from the date of the last check deposited?
Yes, yes. That would be approximately a month from April 20th, 2021.
So $792,000exhausted in just a little bit over a month from the date of last deposit. And what was the date of the first deposit again? I apologize.
The first one was March 10th, 2021. So from that date to the last date, I believe two and a half, approximately months.
Were there, into which account was that deposited again?
So all three checks were deposited into a Bank of America account ending in 6779 under the name of Alex Murdaugh.
Now let's take a step back and talk a little bit about the accounts of Alex Murdaugh. Was that Alex's only account at Bank of America?
No.
All right. What was his other accounts at Bank of America?
He had other accounts that have been called the fake forge accounts. There are two of those accounts, and the accounts seemed to run consecutively. One account ended, and then a second one was created. The reason, I'm not exactly sure, just from looking at the statements, but there were two different accounts. There's also a credit card account at Bank of America.
And did Mr. Murdaugh have accounts at Palmetto State Bank?
He did. He had several accounts at Palmetto State Bank.
Was there a particular account there that appeared in your analysis to be his primary account?
Yes, an account ending in 6092, checking account.
Generally speaking, when following funds from Bank of America, well, let me rephrase that question. Was there any pattern in the flow of funds after they were deposited into either the fake forge account or into that Bank of America checking account?
Yes, so when checks were deposited into the fake forge account, typically they were transferred out or withdrawn in cash. If they were transferred out, normally they would go to his personal banking account ending in 6779. Occasionally we would see cashier's checks come out of one of the forge accounts.
Now on those cashier's checks, would it say, hey, this is from the fake forge account on the face of it?
No.
When he would cut checks in that personal banking account, would it say, hey, this is stolen money on the face of those checks?
No.
Okay. So and those who would receive those checks, it would just say something to the effect of Alex Murdaugh or something of that nature?
That is correct.
Okay. Aside from those Bank of America accounts, did any money make it to Palmetto State Bank?
Yes. Occasionally, once the checks went into the personal account at Bank of America, another check would be written, typically just at Palmetto State Bank, and then ultimately it would be deposited into one of his accounts at Palmetto State Bank.
And would the funds thereafter be dispersed from that account?
Yes.
Circling back around to the $792,000 of Ferris fees or Mack truck fees, were you able to determine when any of those fees or other replacement fees were returned to Chris Wilson?
Yes.
All right, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. So previous testimony had mentioned a $350,000 wire from Palmetto State Bank that went to the Wilson Law Group.
And from which institution did that wire originate?
Palmetto State Bank.
And, well, that's $350,000. Were any additional funds provided to Chris Wilson?
Yes. So in Alex Murdaugh's account ending in 6779, we see a check was mobile deposited for $250,000. And then the next day, on July 16th, 2021, there's a wire for that same amount of money, $250,000, that went directly to Wilson Law Group IOLTA account.
I'm showing you a document that is labeled as State's Exhibit 518. Do you recognize this document?
I do.
And is this the document that you were just describing of a $250,000 instrument deposited into Alex's account?
That is correct.
Introduce into evidence Exhibit 518.
My additional objection, Your Honor.
Admit it.
And is that the instrument you were just describing a moment ago?
It is.
Can you pull it down a little bit? We got a touch of glare. Thank you, Mr. Waters. Right, and that is a check made out to Alec Murdoch for $250,000. What's the name at the top of the instrument?
It says John E. Parker.
From your work with investigators throughout this case, do you know who John E. Parker is?
I do.
Right, and who is he?
He is a former law partner of Alex Murdoch's at what we've been calling PMPED.
All right, and right here above Mr. Waters' cuticle, there's something written in the memo line. What does that say?
Says loan.
All right, so on the face of this check, does it purport to be a loan to Mr. Murdoch?
It does.
So that adds up to $600,000. Did you identify any additional funds sent back to Chris Wilson's office in replacement of that $792,000?
I did not.
And I apologize, we took that with court's permission and suspect without objection from counsel, we have redacted certain personal identifying account information from the face of this.
Okay.
What's the date on this instrument, Mr. Burney?
It is July 15th, 2021.
And is that the same date as the wire of funds from Palmetto State Bank to Mr. Wilson's trust account?
It is.
In the course of your analysis, did you have an opportunity to look at Mr. Murdoch's balances on or about June 7th, 2021?
I did.
And did you look at his balances on all of his deposit accounts?
I did.
And did you look at his balances on all of his outstanding loans and lines of credit?
Yes, all that I've identified, I reviewed them, yes.
In your opinion, Mr. Burney, on June 7th, 2021, across Mr. Murdoch's deposit accounts and demand lines of credit, did Richard Alexander Murdoch have $792,000 available to return to Chris Wilson?
He did not.
On that same date, June 7th, 2021, across his deposit accounts and his demand lines of credit, did Richard Alexander Murdoch have $500,000 available to give to the sons of Gloria Satterfield?
He did not.
On June 7th, 2021, did Richard Alexander Murdoch have, across his deposits accounts and his lines of credit, did he have $10 million available to meet the settlement demands of Mark Tinsley?
He did not have $10 million.
And it might seem obvious, given that we went through each of those individual scenarios, but on June 7th, 2021, did Richard Alexander Murdoch have enough money to fulfill all three of those conditions?
He was not able to fulfill all three conditions. That's correct.
No further questions for this witness, Your Honor.
We're going to break for lunch now. You may step down to not discuss your testimony. Just a moment, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to step down. And we'll resume at 2:15. Please not discuss the case.
That wraps up our third segment of coverage. There is more to come. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of it right here You can even get a commercial-free experience through Apple Podcasts and try it for 3 days free. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right
now. Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
COTA just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your COTA fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with COTA. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.